Today's daf is Vochim daf Tzadik Vav, and we are about 15 lines from the bottom of daf Tzabach Hey Amid Beis Toshma. So the topic of the 11th Perek in Masach Tzvochim, Perek Dam Chatos, are three halachas that are mentioned in Parshas Tzav regarding the Korban Chatos. The Torah says, Dam Chatos Shinite Zalabeged, if dam of a korban chatos, it doesn't matter if it's one of the chatois hachitzoniyos or one of the chatois hapnimiyos, if it lands on a beged, as long as the dam was ra'oi lahazah, as we saw in the Mishnayos and in the Gemaras, the halacha is, the beged requires kibbutz. If a korban chatos was cooked in a keli, says the Torah, if the keli was a kli cheres, yishaver, you have to break the kli cheres. If the keli was a kli nechoshes, you don't have to destroy the keli. Rather, what you need to do is kasher it. And the Torah prescribes a very unique kashering process, a very unique type of hagola. It's what's referred to as merik of the shtifa. It's what's going to be discussed in greater detail in tomorrow's daf. Regardless, the halacha of kibbutz, the halacha of shviras klicheres and merik of the shtifa by kli nechoshes, that is the topic over here in Masechta Zvachim. We saw that the Rishonim discussed, the Ramban and the Chizkuni, that the idea of dam chatas ton kibbutz could be related to one of the psulim that features very prominently in Masechta Zvachim, and that's psul yotze. The Rishonim suggests that it could be the reason the Torah said you have to take out the dam of a beged is because, being that a chatas is kotshi kadashim, and a chatas that Kachi Kadashim's dam cannot leave the Chaymas of the Azara, it can't leave the Kloim. If it's going to be Balu and the Beged, and you're going to take the Beged outside of the Kloim, it's going to come out that that dam, even though it's Balua, will be Nifsal B'yotze. So it could be, says the Ramban, and it's a little bit more Mefurish in the Chizkuni, that the Yisoyed of Dam Chatas Ton Kibbutz is related to Psul Yotze. We asked, if that's the case, why is it only true for a Karban Chatas? The Mishnah says only a Dam Chatas requires Kibbutz, but Dam of other Karbanas, even Kachi Kadashim doesn't have a din kibbutz. If it's related to a more general psul yotze, the psul yotze of chutz l'kloim relates to all karbanos, not only to the karban chatos. Regardless, that was something that the Rishonim suggested. As it relates to the reason why the Torah said that you have to destroy a kli cheres shen espashal b'karban chatos, so the reason you need to do merikim shtifa with a kli nechoshes, that a karban chatos was cooked in that, too, is related to a psul. It's not psul yotze, but rather it's psul noisar. And that's not something that only the Rishonim say. That's already Mefurish in the Gemara. It was really the last Gemara that we saw yesterday, and it segues into this morning's daf. Meaning, it's Mavur in the Gemara that the reason the Torah says that if you cook a karban chatos in a keli, you need to do something with the keli. It's because we know the whole Yeridei is predicated on this premise, and that is that there's something called a blia. And in this context, what the blia would mean is that if you cook a karban chatos inside a kedera, even though you washed it and you rinsed it and you put it in your dishwasher, maybe dishwasher is different, but you put it in your dishwasher, so right now there's going to be a blia of the karban chatos inside the defanos of the kedera. Which means that the next time this kedera is subjected to heat, for example, you cook something else in it, that blia is going to leave the doifen of the kedera, and it's now going to enter the food that you're cooking. Now, a carbon becomes nicer after a certain period of time. In the case of a carbon chatos, it's a yoim v'layla. Which means is that if you're going to cook a carbon chatos in a kedera, and you're not going to do merikah v'shtifa, or in the case of a kli cheres, where you can't kasher a kli cheres, you're not going to destroy the kli cheres, it's going to come out, there's going to be a little bit of nicer. And it's for that reason there's a halacha of shvira, for that reason there's a halacha of merika v'shtifa. What we left off yesterday was an ibaya in the Gemara. The Gemara wanted to know what would be if somebody cooked a karban chatos inside a kli cheres. Somebody cooked a karban chatos inside a kli nechoshes, but we know there's no blias. How do you know that? Because it never touched, the food itself never touched the kteir. So for example, you put the food, the basar, the karban chatos on a kebab, you put it on top of the fire, so it's being cooked, it's being roasted from the heat that's coming out of this tanner and that's coming out of this pot, but at the same time, it never touched the pot. So from a blia standpoint, the assumption is there's no blias. What's the shiloh? If you assume that the whole tam of shviras klicheres and merikiv shtifa b'klin nechoshes is related to a blia, over here there's no blia. Or do you say that once the Torah said that a klicheres shen espashol b'chatas yishover, or a klin nechoshes shen espashol b'chatas Carbon chatas needs marika v'shtifa. It's exeris hakasef, even if there's no blias. Meaning, it sounds like for sure the real reason why there's a mitzvah of shvira and marika v'shtifa is related to the blia of noiser. But the question presumably is that once the Torah said that once basar chatas is nispashal in a keli, you need to do something with the keli. Maybe even if you found a hechi timtza where there's not physically going to be a blia, still the halachas of the Torah are going to apply. So that's the ibaya that we left off with. Says the Gemara Tashma. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Bar Avua. So Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Bar Avua, I'll bring you a raya, a geshmak raya. Tanner shal mikdash shal matchus hoya. The tanner of the base hamikdash was made out of matchus. Rav Nachman said that he heard from Rabbi Bar Avua that there's a Messiah. Neither Rav Nachman or Rabbi Bar Avua were ever in the Beis HaMikdash. But they said that they had a tradition that the ovens that were used in the Beis HaMikdash were made out of matches. Now, why would they have used the ovens out of matches? Presumably, says the Gemara, because there's a halacha that a carbon chatas that's cooked inside a kli cheres, you have to destroy the kli cheres. If that's the case, if they would cook it in a tanner that was made out of cheres, they would have to destroy the tanner. It's not very practical. Every time you make dinner, you have to destroy your oven. So presumably, the reason they made it out of matches was because matches is like nechoshes. All it needs is marika v'shtifa. So you have the maintenance crew comes and they clean it up. That's not such a big deal. But tainis the gemara of isol gataytich bishvul. But if you're going to tell me that not every time you cook a carbon chatas in a kli cheres, you have to destroy the kli cheres. It's only if the food is physically touching the cheres, but in the event that it's not touching it, but rather you're doing it in the case where it's bishul b'lo bilua, like the case that the Gemara is pondering in its ibaya, na'avit shel cheres, let's just make it out of cheres, which I guess was considered a little bit more practical, not have to make it from matches. Every time you cook, you're going to have to destroy it. No, you don't. You're cooking in a way where you're going to make sure that the food never touches the tanner. So isn't it a raya that even if the food doesn't touch the tanner, as long as it's cooked, Allah is yishaver? But the Gemara says it's not a raya. You want to know why they couldn't make it out of cheres? It had to be made out of matches. It's not because of the basar chatas. Maybe for the basar chatas, there wouldn't have been an issue. But even the kishyari menachos, being that one of the things that they used to bake in the tanner were the shirayim of the mincha, so part of the mincha went on the mizbeach, that was the koimetz, and the rest of it was eaten by the kehanim. So the shiyari menachis, the leftovers, meaning not the koimetz, the part that was eaten by the kehanim, that was baked. Where was it baked? In the tanner. And the way they used to bake bread was they would take the bread and they would line it on the walls of the tanner. That's why there's something called ridia sapas. Ridia sapas is the process of removing the bread from the walls of the tanner. When you take bread out of an oven today, you're not doing ridia sapas because we don't bake bread the way they used to make bread. But it would mean you would literally be peeling it off the walls of the tanner. But the bottom line is, the way they used to make bread, such as the mincha, would be by attaching it to the tanner. So kiven ikishyar menachas tafiyasim betaner ve'ikub bishul bilua. And in that case, there's bishul and there's bilua of dinu shal matches. For that reason, they made it for matches. So maybe the reason it was made for matches, argues the Gemara, is not because of the basar chatas. Basar chatas, you don't necessarily need the basar to touch the tanner in order to cook the basar. But for the shiori menachas, the way you bake bread, for that you need contact. It's for that reason they had to make it out of matches. Says the Gemara, hu tanur da atru beitichayo. There was a tanner that was once smeared with fat of an animal. So they took the grease, the fat of an animal, and they smeared the side of the tanner. It was a kosher animal, it was kosher fat, so really there should be no issue. Stating that, Asra Rabba Bar Ahiloi, the Michla the Rifta La'ila, Rabba Bar Ahiloi issued a very controversial psak, a psak that has ramifications halacha. He said that you're not allowed to bake bread in this tanner right now. Why not? I'll bake bread. What are you worried about? Because there's some fat of flesh inside of it, so I won't eat it with flesh. I won't eat it together with dairy. It said Rabbi Bar Ahiloi, I don't care. But filu b'milcha, you can't even dip it into salt. Why? Because he's concerned that bread is usually not fleishik or milchik. Bread is usually parv. So if you're going to have fleishik of bread, there's a chashash that you may go ahead and you may eat it with milchik. So that's what Rabbi Bar Ahiloi said, that this is going to be a problem. And he said that it's asul la'ilam. Why is it asul la'ilam? And what does it have to do with our Gemara? Because this tanner was made out of cheres. Being that the tanner was made out of cheres, cheres, there's no way to be magal. And that's one of the themes, one of the takeaways of our sugya. It's for that reason that if you cook a carbon chatas in a kli cheres, you shover. You can't do marika, you can't do shtifa, there's no hagala, you have to destroy it. That means there's no option, there's no way out of a cheres. So if there's no way out of a kli cheres that has a blia, so in our sugya, when there's noisa, you have to destroy it. In the case with a tanner, you don't have to destroy it. You want to make meat inside of it, that's okay. But Rav Bar Eloi said a chiddush, you can't make lechem, and the reason you can't make bread is because bread is not something that's ordinarily milchix or fleishix. If you're going to have fleishix of bread, there's a very good chance you're going to end up eating it together with milk. It's right to Gemara, but is Rav Bar Eloi correct? Meisvei, I'll ask you a kasha from a braisa, you're not allowed to knead dough together with chalav. Meaning you can't make bread with milk in lieu of water. The imloshen, if you do chalav paskul asura, then the bread becomes asur. Meaning you can't just eat it as a dairy bread, as an OUD bread. That's not going to work. Why not? Because, again, bread is something that is usually not milchix or fleishix. In this case, you have milchix or bread. What happens if you eat it with fleishix? So that's a rakiyotze. But similarly, ain't toshen es ataner ba'alya. You're not allowed to smear a taner with alya. That's meat. V'im tosh. And if you do, kol hapas asura. The bread becomes asur. That's what Rabbi Bar Eloi said, right? But the end of the price is the problem. But there is a way out. The way out is heat up the taner. When you heat up the taner, you're going to kasher the taner. Oh, you're going to kasher the taner. So now it's going to be okay. So on the one hand, you have a raya to what Rabbi Bar Eloi said from this price. But then again, there's also a kyufta to Rabbi Bar Eloi from this price. You see this concept that you're not allowed to have milch bread or fleishiger bread. Because being that bread is usually parv, it's something that can bring to major problems. So for that reason, it's a problem. But at the same time, Rabbi Bar Eloi said, it's always going to be asr. Because he argued there's no way to kasher kli cheres. Here you have a mefurish b'raisa that says there is a way to kasher kli cheres. Now, first glance, you're going to tell me, Rabbi Bar Eloi is coming from our sugya. I mean, everybody knows that. I mean, this is Yerideya 101. There's no way to kasher kli cheres. The Torah says a kli cheres that becomes tameh yishaver. You have to destroy it. We just saw now, basar chatas that was cooked in a klicheres, you have to destroy it, because there's no way to kasher a klicheres. This braisa, if anything, is all of the onus is on the braisa to explain itself, not Rabbi Bar Eloi. So the Gemara is going to come back to that. But for now, the Gemara says, tiufta the Rabbi Bar Eloi tiufta. Rabbi Bar Eloi is an amoira. He has no right to argue with a braisa. What Rabbi Bar Eloi said is partially true, but it's partially tiufta. Amalei Ravina the Rav Ashi. Ravina told Rav Ashi, v'chim yachid yitoyse Rabbi Bar Eloi. Now the Rabbi Bar Eloi is halacha. Was upgefrekt. We have tufta the Rabbi Bar Eloi tufta. My Amar Rav there is bePesach Yishaveru. Rav said a halacha, an unrelated psak. This was when Rav was saying Hilchas Pesach bePesach. So he said that if anybody has a kli cheres that he used to cook or bake chametz in, he has to destroy it. There's no way to kasher the kli cheres. At first glance, what Rav was saying was very reasonable. There's no way to kasher kli cheres. The problem is, Rabbi Bar Eloi said the same exact halacha. He also said there's no way to kasher kli cheres. And the Gemara said, tiufta the Rabbi Bar Eloi tiufta, from a braisa. So why is Rav going like this tiufta the Rabbi Bar Eloi, not like the braisa? Now Rav, incidentally, is allowed to argue with the braisa. Rav Tanu Polik, but like it's mavur throughout Chas that Rav Tanu Polik is a bit yevet. It's a last resort. The last option, you're never going to find tiufta the Rav tiufta. And maybe you will, but it'd be a chiddush if you do, because Rav is allowed to argue with the Braisa. But either way, again, the thought is that Rav did not argue with Braisas. So argues Tainas the Gemara, Rav is saying that it's not possible to kasher a klicheres, the same tiufta that the Gemara asked in Rabbi Bar Eloi, isn't that a kasher on Rav as well? Amalei Rav. So the Gemara says, Amalei, so he told him, Rav Mukila lahi b'shel matchas. Rav is going to say that Braisa that the Gemara thought was a tiufta on Rabbi Bar Eloi is really not a tiufta to Rabbi Bar Eloi. That price says you could do hagola on a taner. It was a taner shel matches. Who said the taner was cheres? It doesn't say the word cheres anywhere. So being that it doesn't, it says, ain't toshen as a taner ba'alya. The assumption is most tanurim were made out of cheres. So if it was made out of cheres, it'd be a good kasha. But maybe it wasn't made out of cheres. Maybe it was made out of matches. And if it was made out of matches, not a kasha. Obviously, if Rav is not upgefrekt from this braisa, then Rabbi Bar Eloi is also not upgefrekt from this braisa. So the initial reaction that the Gemara had was tufta the Rabbi Bar Eloi, but when the Gemara saw that Rav said the same halacha, then the Gemara took a step back, because I guess it's less mistaber that Rav should be tufta than Rabbi Bar Eloi should be tufta. So the Gemara said, you know what, maybe that braisa is discussing matches. It's not a kasha on Rabbi Bar Eloi. It's not a kasha on Rav Yidim. Iba Yisayim Rebbe Tanu Shal Cheres. Maybe the price is discussing Tanu Shal Cheres. So again, in the price, you see there's a way to kasha Cheres. How could Rav say there's no way to kasha Cheres? Zeikim Mibifnim Zeikim Mibichotz. A Tanur, you can kasha. A Kedera, you can't kasha. Rav's halacha was Kedera is Bepesach Yishaveru. He said a pot, there's no way to kasha. A Tanur itself, you can. What's the difference? Because a Tanur, the heat, the fire that's going to kasher it is going to be inside the tanner. Heat that's inside the tanner can remove the blios, it can be magal, it can kasher the blios that are inside the tfanos of the tanner. Whereas a ktera, when you heat up the ktera, you kasher, you're not putting the heat inside the ktera, it's going to be outside of the ktera. Being that it's going to be on the outside of the ktera, hesekei mibachutz is not a hagala, hesekei mibifnim is a hagala. Rabbi Bar Yiloi was also discussing the tanner. He was discussing the same halacha of the Braisa. And Rabbi Bar Yiloi said that the tanner that you smear the basar into, you never allowed to use. Why can't you use it? The Braisa says you could kasher. And Rabbi Bar Yiloi is discussing the same tanner that the Braisa is discussing. So make a seke b'bifnim and you're going to have a hagala. So Rabbi Bar Yiloi is yufta, but Rabbi was discussing a k'deira. K'deira is a seke b'bachutz. By a k'deira, even the Braisa would agree, there's no way to be magal. It says the Gemara, v'yibay yaseim, or you avek the Gemara, v'navet ha'soker b'bifnim. It's avek the Gemara, why can't you heat up, and why can't you kasher a k'deira mibifnim? Meaning you're saying a tanner is a seki mibifnim, a k'deira is a seki mibachot. Doesn't have to be that way. You can't be magal a k'deira mibifnim. So the Gemara says you could, but chaya salayu the mitferi. But Rav didn't want to rely on that, because Rav understood that most people, it's a very dangerous, don't try this at home. Because if you're going to try to be magal a k'deira by putting a fire inside of it, there's a good chance it's going to break. The average man will not do that. He's going to end up doing it the wrong way. So Rav wasn't comfortable. Rav said, Yishaveru. Based on the raw technical halacha, yeah, there is a way to be magal k'deira shel cheres, just like a tanner shel cheres. Because nothing unique about the tanner over the k'deira, other than one is a seikim b'fnim, the other is a seikim b'chutz. So do the k'deira seikim b'fnim. But Rav was afraid that it was something that wasn't going to work. So the Gemara says, Hilka chai kuvya, this was some implement that people used to use to sometimes bake bread. Haseikim b'chutz uva as. That's something that was a seikim b'chutz, and as a result, it's going to be as. Meaning a tanner we know is a seikim b'fnim. A k'deira is ordinarily a seikim b'chutz. What about this kuvya? So the Gemara says you should know it's a seikim b'chutz, and as a result, it's going to be awesome. The freak the Gemara kasha. If this is the case, and listen to a kasha, el k'deira shel mikdash amayi shaveru. So we just said that we thought all along that it's impossible to do hagala on a kli cheres. Kill zvachin tzadikei amibes. It sounds like that's very much the case. Stating that, we realized now we were making a mistake all these years. Because really, you could be magal cheres. As long as it's hesekim b'fnim, you heat it up from the inside, whatever exactly that means. But as long as it's hesekim b'fnim, it's something that's possible. A tanner, for sure you could be magal. It's a mefurish abraisa. And even a k'deira, Rav just wasn't comfortable issuing such a psak for the masses, because he said the average man is going to be uncomfortable, push comes to shove, to do it the right way. He's going to do it the wrong way, and it's going to be a terrible takala. But in theory, it's something that's very much possible. If that's the case, Tainas the Gemara, why is it that a Kli Cheresh and a special Beichatas Dalach is Yishaveru? Why do you have to break it? We started off this morning with a 5-minute introduction saying that the reason why there's a Din Shvira by Kli Cheresh and a special Beichatas, and there's a Din Merika Vestifa by a Kli Necheshes or a Kli Matches and a special Beichatas, it's based on the Blia. A Kli Cheresh you have to destroy because there's no way to kasher a Kli Cheresh. One second, there is a way to kasher a Kli Cheresh. How? Hesekim mibifnim. Okay, so you're going to tell me duma chayisle. But the Gemara says, in the Beis HaMikdash, Kayanim's Rizenheim, maybe it shouldn't be such an issue. And in fact, the Gemara has a patent of how you should do it. Says the Gemara, El Kteresh HaMikdash HaMa Yishaver. Why do you have to destroy the Kteresh in the Beis HaMikdash? What's the kasha? Nehadjurinu likifshoinois. Why can't we put them back into the kifshon? This kifshon is the oven or this keli, this piece of equipment that's used to create the Kli Cheres in the first place. If you put it back into that keli, the assumption is two things. Number one, it's going to be a seikim mibifnim. And number two, there isn't such a concern that it's going to be destroyed. So I guess to tell the man on the street to go be magul your kelim in the kifshon before Pesach, Rav didn't like that either. So Rav said, Yishaveru. But in the Beis HaMikdash, where we're going to start destroying, it's going to be Yontif and the Vachin, with all these Kli Cheresses that we have to get rid of. Why? Why do you have to get rid of all the Kli Cheresses? In theory, there's a way out. The way out is Hasekim Mibifnim. And the Gemara says, I actually have a practical way out. Let's just make a kifshon. You don't have to be worried of duma chayus allow the mitvari, because this is going to work. So just have a big commercial kifshan in the azara, and every time you cook a klichera, stick it back in the kifshan. It's going to be hasekim b'vnim. And shouldn't that work? Amar Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira said, "Lufishen oisin kifshanis b'Yerushalayim." It's not practical. It doesn't work because it was actually from the Takanas Ezra. If you see in the Maseres Tashas, Bava Kama Pei Beis Amid Beis, which discusses the Takanas the Yeshua Ben Nun made, right? Certain things that you have to observe in Eretz Yisrael, and certain things that Ezra implemented as well. This is one of them. You don't make such a, you can't have such a kifshan in Yerushalayim, let alone in the Azor and the Harabayis. So as a result, this wasn't an option. Amar Abaya. Abaya said, "V'chi oisin ashpasos ba'azor." He said, "I hear. You don't make a kifshan in Yerushalayim. Good point. But let me ask you something else. How about an ashpa? How about a garbage dump? Right? All these shivrei klicheres, all these klicheres that are being destroyed, you're going to gather them. There's going to be a pile of it somewhere, and that's something that you do make in the Azor." So the Gemara says, "Ishtamitzei hadatani." Abaya asked the good kasha. But he forgot a brisa. Oh, the Tani Shmaya, the Kalma Shmaya of Shmaya and Aftalian fame, was once in Kalmaboy, and he said the following memra: Shivrei Klicheres Nevlam B'Mkayim. He said there was a nest that took place in the Beis Hamikdash that all the Shivrei Klicheres, they'd be swallowed up in the ground. Oh, they'd be swallowed up in the ground. You didn't have to have an ashva. So that was a moot point. So to put it in a kivshon, ain oisin kivshon ois b'Yerushalayim. You're worried about the Shivrei Klicheres, they were swallowed. So but the Gemara asks one more kasha. Elo hadam Rav Nachman Abba Rabba Ravu, a Tanner Shal Mikdash, Shal Matches HaYehava. Going back to what we started the daf with, that the Tanner in the Beis HaMikdash was made out of Matches. Why couldn't it be made out of Cheres? So the Gemara said, because of this halacha of Yishover. What's the problem? Why do you have to break it? L'chura, there's a way to be magalit. Hesekoy mi bifnim. And the avid echeres hesekoy mi bifnim. So the Gemara says, kibin ikar shtei alechem lechem aponim, dafiyosan b'tanur, being that you had the shtei alechem, the lechem aponim, which were baked in the tanur, v'kdushosan b'tanur, but they weren't just baked in the tanur. They had to be neskadish from the tanner, have a klishare, so it comes out, then the tanner served the dual purpose. It served the purpose of a klishare as well. The klishare is the cheres loyavdina. There's a rule that you can't make a klishare out of cheres. I feel Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, and even Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, who's Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, says Rashi, sukkah daftunam and beis, that says that you're allowed to make klishare out of eights, like Kamer El the eights. That's true. Avo the cheres loy, but cheres not. As a result, there was no way to make the tanner out of a kli cheres exhale. So really, what came out of this Gemara is a very big chiddush. What came out of the Gemara is that we always thought that there's no way to be magal cheres. It's not true. There's a whole sugya here in Shas where it comes out that really you could do agala in a kli cheres. What you need is that it should be hesekim mibifnim. And as long as it's hesekim mibifnim, that would constitute agala, which for a tanner is easy. You just heat up the tanner, and it's going to be a seikim ibifnim, where you're going to end up with this hagala. Kedera is a little bit more complicated. And the truth is that the average person will be afraid to take a cheres and do hasekim ibifnim. Why? The chayus ala the mitzvah, because he's afraid that it may end up breaking. But in theory, it's something that could be done. And not just that, there actually is a practical way to do it, to put it back into the kifshon that originally created this keli. And if you do that, it's going to be okay. But the Gemara, I had an issue with, and the reason it's here in Masechet Zevachim, specifically in Perek Dam Chatos, is that the Torah says a halacha that if you cook a chatos in a klicheres, you have to destroy the klicheres. What do you have to destroy it for? It doesn't make any sense. If it's a tanner, you certainly shouldn't have to destroy it. A tanner is so easy to be magal. You can go ahead and do hasekim mibifnim. And even if it's a kdeira, even a regular pot, shouldn't be a problem. Why? Because just put it back into the kivshan. So the Gemara said, as it relates to the tanner going backwards, the reason that's not a teretz is because the tanner served multiple purposes. The tanner served the purpose of just baking whatever needed to be baked, or cooking whatever needed to be cooked. But at the same time, it also had to be a klisharis. And a klisharis can't be made out of cheres, because even the biggest maker when it comes to klisharis is Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, and he said it can be made out of eights. But to make it out of cheres, for sure not. You can't make it out of cheres. I mean that you can't make it out of cheres, there's no way to make the tanner out of cheres. But in theory, maybe they could have made the tanner out of cheres. And certainly, the reason they didn't make the tanner out of cheres is not related to this halacha of Yishavah. You don't have to break it. Because even if it's out of a bli of a carbon chattas, there'd be a way to kasher it. What about the Kedaris, why can't you make a kifshan? So the Gemara says, Shainois and Kifshainis be Rishalayim. But Enochanami, the Gemara is saying, in theory, you could have made it out of Klicheres, and instead of breaking it, you could have destroyed it. The obvious kasha is that when the Torah says that a Klicheres and a special Bechatas Yeshavah, isn't it a mitzvah in the Torah? Why does the Torah say Yeshavah? The Torah says Yeshavah to get rid of the Bliya. Meaning, of course, the reason is to get rid of the bliya. But at the end of the day, the Torah says that once you cook the basar chatas and the klicheres, there's a mitzvah of shvira. Torah. And you would think the mitzvah of Shvira is like any other mitzvah in the Torah. It's a mitzvah to put on tefillin and to say Kriya Shema. There's a mitzvah to break the Kli Charis. It's a mitzvah. It's not just a prabha. It's not just a way of getting rid of the bliya. I mean, the reason the Torah said Yishaver is because of the bliya. But now that the Torah said Yishaver, there's a mitzvah shvira. So even if you have a way out, so good. The income mekoymoy. But before we go weiter, just two ha'aras. The first ha'ara is a kushya nefla that the placey. Bienis and Ibishitz in the Sefer Krasi of Placey in Yeridea, this is a Yeridea topic, asks. It's a gewaldige kasha. There's an obvious hole in the kasha, but the kasha is so geschmack that it's worth speaking out. And just a little bit of a hakdama, and really an important hakdama. So we've been discussing three halachas. We've been discussing the halacha of kibus, of a beged, shenite zoleh adam chatas. We've been discussing the halacha of a klicheresh and a special bechatas, where the Torah says yishaver. And we've been discussing the halacha of a klinechoshes, or a klimatches, as we saw in the Gemara, shen a special bechar mechatas, where there's a mitzvah of merika v'shtifa. The Mishnah said mefurish on daf tzad gimel amid beis, that the halacha of dam chatas ton kibas is only true by kar mechatas. That halacha is not true b'shar karbonis. That was a mefurish of Mishnah. Additionally, the Mishnah said Mefurish on Daf Tzadik Heyamid Beis that the halacha of Merika v'Shtifa by a clean of Chayshis is true for Echad Kachim, the Echad Kachim Kalim. Reb Shimon holds Kachim Kalim now, but it's certainly not exclusive to Karban Chattas. It's a Mefurish Mishnah. So, according to the Chachamim, it's for sure that Dam Chattas Ton Kibbutz is only true by a Chattas, and clean of Chayshis Ton Merika v'Shtifa is true by all Kachim, even by Kachim Kalim. What the Mishnah never discussed is, what about the halacha of Shviras Kli Cheres? This idea that a Kli Cheres and a special boy Chattas, is that only true by a Karban Chattas, that there's a Din Shvira? Or is that going to be true by Shar Karbanos as well? And the halacha, it's a machlokes Rishonim. Rashi in the Mishnah, and Daf Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis, and Rashi in Chumash as well, says Mefurish, that it's going to be true for, it's going to be true for Shar Karbanos as well. Meaning, even Shar Karbanos, not only a Karban Chattas, is going to have the halacha of Shvira. Meaning, just like this Marika v'Shtifa b'Shar Karbanos, so too the Shvira b'Shar Karbanos. Dam Chattas Ton Kibbutz is one halacha. Shvira's Klicheres, Marika v'Shtifa b'Klin Chayish is another halacha. And although the Mishnah never said Mefurish what the halacha is, Shar Kachin, Klicheres, Ton Shvira, ain't Ton Shvira, but the Mishnah said Marika v'Shtifa b'Klin Chayish, and therefore it makes sense, Zulbas Artaimo, the same is going to be true by Klicheres. Same that the Rambam argues. The Rambam says clearly that the halach of Shviras Kli Cheres is true only for Karban Chattas. It's not going to be true for Shar Karbanos. And this Rambam is very, very schwer. And if you go through the Gemaras, you're going to find obvious kashas on the Rambam. And the Achrenim discussed this Rambam in great detail. But the Placey in Yerideya, it's in Simin Kuf Gimel, asks a gewaldige kasha. And again, just speaking out the kasha because it's a geshmaki kasha. And it just goes to show that, you know, sometimes even from a Haggadah to Gemara, you can take out a Dover Niflo. And this is a Gemara that we've spoken about here in Masechtas Vachon. It's a Mishnah in Masechtas Tainus from all places, Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, and the Gemara discusses it in greater detail in Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. The context over there is the Tanesim that the Chachamim were geyser in the event that it hadn't rained. So we're all familiar with Chayni HaMagel. Chayni HaMagel is of Masechtas Tainus fame, and the Mishnah over there tells a story that once upon a time, the winter had passed, Reiv of Chodesh Adar had already passed, and it still hadn't rained. And they finally went to the big Mekubal, the big Tzadik, Chayni HaMagel, and they told Chayni HaMagel, his spalo sheyer duk shaman, daven, that it should rain. I'm on the hand. So Chayni HaMagel told the Yidin, I'm going to go daven. But before I daven, prepare for rain. It's not just going to rain. It's going to be gishmei brucha. He told him, tzu v'chnisu tanurei psachim. Take the ovens that you used to use to bake the Karban Pesach, bring it inside. B'shvil shalo yimayku. Because if it's going to be outside, it's going to melt. His spell, Chayni HaMagel daven v'lo yarduk shaman, it didn't rain. Ma'asa, what did he do? Everyone knows what he did. He made a circle, and he stood inside the circle, and he told Hashem that I'm not leaving this circle. In Yizaz mikan atche terachim abonecha. It started raining a little bit. It wasn't enough. Then it rained too hard. I want gishmei brocha. And the rest is history. Zok Rashi, why did Chayni HaMagel told the Yidden to take the tanurim, your ovens, and bring it inside? So Rashi says, very simple, shal cheres, because they were made out of cheres. And being that they were made out of cheres, they would have melted from all the rain. So that's what Chayni HaMagel was telling him. I mean, if they were made out of matches, there wouldn't have been an issue, because matches is not going to melt from rain. But cheres can melt from rain. As a result, he took it inside. It says, Rienus and Aibashitz, it comes out in this Rashi, and really that's Pashup Shana in the Gemara, that the tanurim that were used to make the Karban Pesach were made out of cheres. Freit Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz, I don't understand. How could they have made it out of cheres? L'chura, when they make the car, they roast the carbon pesach inside the tanner, blios of the carbon pesach are going to now go into the walls of the tanner. If they're going to go into the walls of the tanner, you're going to have blios of noisa. One of the two times the Torah mentions the lav of noisa is by the carbon pesach. You, of course you have noisa by the carbon pesach. So you're now going to have blios inside. If you're going to have blios inside, Freit Yonis and Eibishitz, you're not going to be able to use it again. And incidentally, Rabbi Yonis says, I know for sure that they used to reuse the tanurim. They didn't just destroy the tanurim. Because this happened in Chodesh Adar, and everyone had the tanurim outside. He says, why'd they have the tanurim outside in Chodesh Adar? You know, it's already so close to Pesach that everybody had the tanurim. Says presumably they had it from last year. So if they had the tanurim from last year, hadn't been using the tanner. Why aren't you worried about the bliyos? Why aren't you worried about the bliyos? Says Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz. You know, it's a raya. It's a raya to the Rambam Shita that the only time there's a halach of shviras kli cheres when you cook a carbon is only if it's the carbon chatas. But shav karbonis such as the carbon Pesach, you don't have to worry about. Because if it's true, like Rashi and most Rishonim say, that just like Marika, the shtifa is not unique to the carbon chatas, it's true for all kachim. So too, shviras kli cheres is true for all kachim as well. Then shouldn't there have been a din shvira? Elamites, right to the Rambam, there was no din shvira. So they used this tana for the carbon pesach, and they had no chiv to break the carbon pesach. So says Rabbi Yonis said, even though this Rambam is so shver and there's so many kashas on the Rambam, it could be the Rambam got his halacha from a Gemara Masechtas Tainis. Daf Yud Tes Amar. What's the problem? What's the kasha? Oh, I hear. So maybe they roasted it. Kasha, maybe they weren't comfortable with that. But there's even a bigger problem. This is all the Havamina of the Gemara. The Gemara and the Havamina thought that there's no way to do Hagala with a Klicheres. And it's for that reason they made sure that the Tanner in the Beis HaMikdash was laid out of Matches, because if it would have been out of Cheres, you would have had to destroy the Tanner. But the Gemara came out of the Maskon, it's not true. There's a very easy way to do Hagala on a Tanner. It's a Sekim Mibifnim. A Kter is more complicated, but when it comes, and even for that there's an Eitzah. But when it comes to a Tanner, it's not a problem. Why then did they used to make the tanner the Beis HaMikdash out of matches? Not because of noisa, not because of this issue of shviras klicheres. It was simply based on the fact that the tanner had to serve a dual purpose. It was also a klishares and a noisa klishares shalcheres. But this is all good kasha and the havamin of the Gemara. Meaning the havamin of the Gemara, you have a raya to the Rambam, but you can't bring a raya to a Rambam from a havamin of the Gemara. But the truth is that we learned this Gemara. You know, we took the simplest route. It's in terms of the Daf Yomi Mahalach of this Gemara. But if you mind, we're showing him Rashi on the top of the Amud, that Tzabek Vav and Meralev, there's a Tosfos, the Masech Tzavah Gezara, Daf Lamed Dalet and Meralev. It's really a big discussion, we're showing him exactly how to learn the Gemara. And according to some Shitas of Rishonim, the Kasha definitely stands. Either way, it's a fest Ara. What's interesting, this is the second Ha'ara, the second interesting Zvachim Ha'ara that we took out of this Gemara. What was the first one? First one was that after it finally rained, Tzachani HaMagel told the Olam to bring a Parshal Hoidah. Said, bring a Parshal Hoidah. What was this Parshal Hoidah? So Rashi says that a par, that to be misvada on the par, Hoidah is Miloshim Vidoy. But the Shagis Aryeh, in his Gvur Sari, right here, Masechtas Tainis, says, you know what the Parshal Hoidah was? It was a carbon Toidah. And even though Arba Tzrichim Lahoidahs, and this is not one of the four, but says the Shagasari, people make a mistake. People think it's only those four. It's not only those four. Really, every person that's Nitzel from a Tzara, I'll call Tzara Shaloi Tavoy, has to bring a carbon taida. So says the Shagasari, Ein Lecha Tzara Gedoyla Mizu, She Yatsu Roi V'Adar V'Lo Yardu G'Shamim. So it's Pashat that the Parsha Leida was a carbon taida. We spoke at the time, the Rabbeinu Bechaya says it in Parsha Sav, he says that the Chasin Kala used to bring a carbon taida back in the day, maybe Kasha Lazav can create. So, but either way, the Chasin Kala used to bring a carbon tighter. So two gewaldige halachis that come out tucked away here in Masechtas Tainis, and a ma'isa with Chayni HaMagel. So the story of Chayni HaMagel is a beautiful story, and there's a lot of musa that you can take out of it, a lot of nice drushes that you can take out of the story of Chayni HaMagel. But here you have two festa halachis. What are the halachas? Number one, maybe a makar to the Rambam Shita. Right? It's not usually what you think of when you go through that Gemara, but it could be a makar to the Rambam Shita, that the halach of Basar Chatas, that it's a mitzvah of shvira, it's tafka the carbon chatas, not shar kachem, not like Rashi and Zvachim Tzadik Gimel Amin Beis, Rashi Alatayr Parshas Sav, That's the first thing. And the second thing is that when we say Dalit Tzricha Behoides, Lav Dafka Dalit. Dalit are, these are just the four examples of Tzaros, Shaloi Tavai, that if a person is Nitzel from such a Tzara, he should bring a carbon Taida. But the truth is that I'll call Tzara Shaloi Tavai, there is an idea of bringing a carbon Taida. That's the first Tzara. The second Tzara is that the Gemara mentioned that there was a tremendous miracle that happened. So the Yidden would break, they would destroy these Kederis that were made out of Cheres. And what happened to the Cheres? They would get swallowed up in the ground. Tani Shmaya be Kalnabai. Shmaya once darshan in Kalnabai. He said, Shivrei kli cheres nevlohim bimkoim. Rabbeinu Bachya, also known as Rabbeinu Bachaya, in Parshas Tzav, on this halacha right here, quotes this chazal. And he says as follows, V'darshu chazal, Shehoyu acharosim nevlohim bekarka hazara. She'im loikei, hoiso hazara kulu mismal acharosim. I guess this, there were so many klicheris that were used. So had this not been the case, it would have been impossible. They would have had to make an ashpa in oisin ashpasois bazar, like the Gemara said. So this was a miracle that almost had to happen. Says Rabbeinu Bechaya, v'hoyezeh mishmoyna osor nisim shenasei mikdash. This is one of the 18 miracles that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Rabbeinu Bechaya goes and he lists exactly what the 18 miracles were. Now, we're familiar with the 10 miracles that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says, Asara nisim nasu labiseinu beBeis HaMikdash. V'lo hipili isha mireach psara kodesh. V'lo hisriach psara kodesh meyoylam. V'lo niris vav beBeis HaMikdachai. V'lo yirakeri l'koyin gol b'yamei kippurim. Etc, etc. Rabbeinu Bachya has a new list. He said, this is one of the 18 miracles that used to happen in the Beis HaMikdash. And when he goes to his 18, he says, the 10 that I mentioned in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. And then he works out exactly what the other 8 were. Interesting. So now you know the rest of the story. It wasn't just 10 miracles that happened. It was actually 18 miracles that happened. Kemis Brachai, and this is one of the 18, Jewish number, this is one of the 18 that happened. The question is, why does the Mishnah mention 10? If it was really 18, why does the Mishnah say, Asorim Nisim Lavi Seinu Beveis HaMikdash? So I think the Taisus Yontif was bothered with this kasha. If you take a look at the Taisus Yontif, Asorim Nisim Nasu Lavi Seinu Beveis HaMikdash. This is Pirkei Avos, Perikei, Mishnah. Says the Taisus Yontif, Asorim Nisim, V'kamani Luhu, Delei Remizu Bekra Klau. Says the Taisus Yontif that the Tana of the Mishnah is about to mention 10 miracles that have no remez anywhere in the Torah. No remez anywhere in the Pasuk. L'chur, the Taisus Yontif was bothered with this kasha. Only 10 miracles? What, there weren't any other miracles? What happened to our Gemara right here? Zvachim Tzadik Vavim and Aleph. Like Rabbeinu Bachya says, I have another 8. I have Yud Ches. Says the Taisus Yontif, there must be something unique about this group. So I'll tell you what's unique about this group. What's unique about this group is that these are all things that are not merumez anywhere in the Torah. Kamanilu delay remizu. Not only are they not mefurish in the Torah, there's no remez to these in the Torah at all. And I'll tell you something interesting. It's Yadua that the Vilna Gaon wrote a pirish on Pirkei Avos. And the Gaon's pirish on Pirkei Avos is very unique. It's unique in the sense that rather than it being a commentary, like the Vilna Gaon wrote on Mishlei, for example, what it is, it's the Vilna Gaon brings sources from Psukim in the Torah to the respective Mishnah. So the Mishnah says a halacha, and the Vilna Gaon traces the halacha back to a pasuk. So it's less like the Vilna Gaon on Mishlei, just as an example. It's more like the Bir Hagra on Shulchan Aruch. So the Bir Hagra on Shulchan Aruch finds mekayris from Gemaras to halachas on Shulchan Aruch. So the Pirish Hagra on Pirkei Avos is finding mekayris from Psukim in the Torah to the Mishnayos and Avos. The Gaon said that the Bir Advarim is because Rashi brings above a comma that Bezam and Aleph Avos Chshiva Lahanidik the Mefurish Bekra Avos Mechal Beikat told us and Avos Arbavos Nezikin. That's why it's above a comma that Bez. Or you have the Lamed Tes Avos Malachis. What makes something an Av and something a Tolda? So anyone that learned that Bezam and Aleph above a comma knows that anything that's Mefurish in the Torah is called an Av. Something that's not Mefurish in the Torah is called a Tolda. So said the Goyin, this is classic Vilna Goyin. He said that Pirkei Avos. Avos means it's Mefurish in the Torah. So if Avos means that it's Mefurish in the Torah, if Avos means it's Mefurish in the Torah, so that's why it's called Pirkei Avos, and that's why the Gra took upon this Avodas HaKodesh to find sources for Psukim in the Torah to all the Mishnayos and Avos. But has it shown with the Taisus Yontif? Taisus Yontif said that what's unique about the Asara Nisim Shenasal HaMiseinu is Kamani Luhud Alei Remiz B'Kra Klal. I think it's a Geshmak Ara. But the truth is, if you look in the Gra's Pirish, I had it with me, it disappeared somehow. Maybe it was Nivlup, I don't know where it is. But so I had it before. But so the Gaon says that
someone took my guy in. So, no, so the guy, but if you look at the gross Pirishon, it's probably right in front of me. I just need another coffee. No, but so anyways, so the guy, it says it is in his Pirishon obvious. If you go through the Asara Nisim, the guy doesn't say anything. He has no Bekaris. It's amazing. Except for two. The last two. The last two that I mentioned in the Mishnah are Vayhizik Nachash V'Akra B'Yushalayim Yailan. That's miracle number 9. And miracle number 10 is V'Lay Amar Adam L'Chaveroi Tzar Li HaMokim Shalom B'Yushalayim. So a Nachash was never Mazik in Yerushalayim. Additionally, a person was never imbakvent. Right? I hope I got that word right. Last time I said a fancy Yiddish word, Maya called me out on it. So, but either way, so so those two things. So the other guy says, I have a makar. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. The Beis HaMikdash was Klilas Yoifi Mesois Kol Ha'aretz, the happiest place in the world. And being that it's such a happy place, so it can't be that a Nazik was ever Mazik. Because if a Nachash was Mazik, that's a contradiction to it being Klilas Yoifi Mesois Kol Ha'aretz. It can't be that a person said Tzar Li HaMokoim. Because again, if it's such a happy Gishmaka's place, then it doesn't make sense. But either, those are the only two that the guy brings the makar to. We spoke this out once. We spoke it out in Masech Tzavay Dezara when we learned the halach of Mayim Megulin. Mayim Megulin is related to a Nachash. The Chidah brings a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says the halach of Megulin, the Isra Megulin applies Bein Ba'aretz U Bein B'chutz La'aretz. And the Chidah in his Birkei Yosef brings from the Pri Chadash. The Pri Chadash said, why would you have a Hava Mina that Megulin should be only in Chutz La'aretz and not in Eretz Yisrael? Said the Pri Chadash based on this Mishnah. Half of a fella. Because the Mishnah says, what's the Chashash? Mayim Megulim that a Nachash might be Matul Eres into the Mayim. So could I Chamino, the being that the Mishnah said, Vlayhizik Nachash Va'akrib Yishalayim Yoylon. So maybe you don't have to worry about it. Maybe there should be no Mayim Megulim. Kamash Malon, Ain't Saim Chanal Anes. Right? One of the 10 miracles is like Ira Keri, the Kayin Gadab Yem Kippur Miyoylon. And Yerushalmi asks, if that's the case, how do you understand the first Mishnah Mesachtes Yuma? Why'd they have to prepare a backup Kayin? Right? You need a backup Kayin Gadab. I thought the Kayin Gadab never became Tomei. Maybe he's going to be Tomei. It never happened. So Yerushalmi says two terutzim. The first terutz Yerushalmi says is Ein Tzayim Chanal Nes. The second terutz is Inyana D'Yayma, like Kasha. One is Bayis Rishon, one is Bayis Sheni. But regardless, says the Chidah B'Shem the Pri Chadash, that's why the Yerushalmi said that the halach of Megulin applies even in Eretz Yisrael, because I would have thought like Hizik Nachash V'Akrib Yerushalayim Yoyim. But the bottom line is, if you go through the Goyim doesn't bring Mekairis. The only two he brings is for these last two. Regardless, that's the Tosfos of Sa'ara, that what's unique about these 10 miracles here that are mentioned by the Mishnah Novice is that these are not Remizu Bikra. I thought the Vilna Goyin said Avos means things that are Mefurish Bikra, and that's the whole Gra and Avos. It's interesting, the Gra Taka is not Mefarish these miracles, with the exception of the last two. Either way, just some food for thought. So, the Gemara Titan. The next Gemara is a classic. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda, have a Ragel Kamed Rami Bar Chama. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda used to go to Rami Bar Chama Shir. Shafke, one day, he stopped showing up. And instead of going to Rami Bar Chama, he went instead to Rav Sheishas. One day, Rami Bar Chama met Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda. And I guess he was a little disappointed at his Talmud, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda, for leaving him and instead going to Rav Sheishas. Amale, so he told him, Al kafta nachta recha osila liyad. It's an expression that means that someone that's a Balgaiva thinks that if he hangs out with important people, it somehow makes him important. The nimshal was, Rami Bar Chama told Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda, Mishum da ozlus lach lekami de Rav Sheishas, hava lach ki Rav Sheishas. I mean, I know Rav Sheishas is very, very great, but it doesn't mean that you're great because you learned by Rav Sheishas. Interesting. So he said, yeah, he's gewaldig, but you have to learn in a place that's appropriate for you. So don't think that because you're learning by Rav Sheishas, that reflects on you. Amalei, he told him, la mishum hachi. The reason I went to Rav Sheishas is not because I want to walk around saying that I'm learning by Rav Sheishas. I understand, that's not what this is about. I went to Rav Sheishas because I actually enjoy learning by Rav Sheishas more than I enjoy learning by the Rebbe Rami Bar Chama. I said, why? He says, Mar, because you Rami Bar Chama, ki be'ina milsa, if I ask you a question, pashli misvara. You always have an answer, but it's always a svara. Ki mashkach de maschisa. Let's say I find a Mishnah or a Braisa that's not like your svara. No, parchalas. That's a problem. Because you can't, as an Amora, argue with a Mishnah or a Braisa. Rav Sheishas, whenever I go to Rav Sheishas, I ask him a kasha, ki bina milsa mine pashli mi masnisa. He always proves it to me from a Mishnah or a Braisa. So the chinami mashkach mi masnisa. So if I go then and I find another Mishnah or a Braisa that's not like Rav Sheishas, uparcha masnisa masnisa. He ends up being a Braisa against a Braisa.
So that's not a problem. I mean, you Rami Bar Chama, I never know if it's the right answer. Because apparently Rami Bar Chama didn't have the same bekiyas that Rav Sheshet said. So Rami Bar Chama was a Baal Svara. So Rav Yitzchak, by Yehuda tells him, he says, I asked you a kash, you tell me a Svara, I walk out feeling great until somebody tells me, but it's not like a Braisa. But Rav Sheshet, being that it always comes from a Mishnah or a Braisa, because his Mahalach and learning is more based on bekiyas. Oh, so it's based on bekiyas, even if, say, he's never up gefrek. So I feel like I walk away with more, and it's for that reason. Amalei, so Rami Bar Chama told Yitzchak Bar Abba, really, boy, minoy milsa, ask me a kasha. You think I can't answer you from Mishnayos and from Braises? Watch. Ask me a kasha, divshalach kimasisa, and I'll be pushing to you from a Braise. Boy, minay. So he asked him the following question. Bishol b'miktsas kli, if somebody cooks a karban chatas, and that's why this is an hour sugya, in a little bit of a keli. He didn't use the whole keli. He just cooked a little, used a little bit of the keli. Tan marika v'shtifa, ain't tan. It was a klina chayshes. There's a dim marika v'shtifa. Do you have to do marika v'shtifa on the entire keli? Or not? Meaning, of course, you have to do a little bit. But the question is, that part that was cooked. But you have to do Mariki Vashif on the entire keli. Amalezi told him, anytime. You don't have to. Meaning the Haviyaza, just like a Hazah. What happens if Dam Chatas goes on a baguette? So you have to wash the baguette. But if it only went a little part of the baguette, you only have to wash that little part. So Rami Bar Chama said, in Svara, I don't see why it should be any different than Dam Chatas. Dam Chatas, you only have to take out the dam, you don't have to wash the entire baguette. So when it comes to Mariki Vashtifa, it's going to be the same thing. But Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda told him, I have a brisa not like that. Meaning, I don't know of a brisa like that. I don't know of a brisa like that. Amalei said, oh, Mishtabra, I hear. But again, Rami Bar Chama, it's a svara. He said, "Kebeged, shouldn't it be like a beged? Ma beged, ain't time keep it on the makom adam. Just a beged, you only have to be mechabes the makom adam. After clay, any time you give a shdiva, elv makom bishul. It sounds like you only have to wash that part." Amalezi told him, "Me dummy, I could argue in svara not that way. Dam loy mefafeya, bishul mefafeya. If you a little bit of dam goes on a beged, the dam doesn't spread throughout the beged. But if a little bit of a blia goes into the doifen of the kedera, it's going to spread within the walls of the kedera. So how can you draw an analogy between dam and a beged?" And cooking basar in a pot. But, oy, then here's the punchline. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda told him, Tanya, you're not like a braisa. The braisa says, Chaymer bazal mi marika v'shtifa, Chaymer marika v'shtifa bazal. You find the chumrah that hazal has over marika v'shtifa, and the chumrah that marika v'shtifa has over hazal. Chaymer bazal, hazal has a chumrah shazal, yeshna b'chatos achitzayis b'chatos apnimis. The halach of dam chatos shintis ala begaton kibas is true, whether it's a chatos chitzayin or whether it's a chatos pnim. V'yeshna lifnei zrika. And it's true, lifnei zrika. Precisely lifnei zrika. It has to be roi lazal. Masha inkim as opposed to by Marika Vishtifa. There's no Marika Vishtifa by Chatas HaPnimiyos, and there's no Marika Vishtifa Lifnei Zrika. And they're both for the same reason. Because the only time you have Marika Vishtifa is if you cook basa that's Roy Lachila. The Chatos HaPnimiyos were Paramanistrophin. They weren't Nechal. So obviously you don't have this Halach of Shriyas Glicheris. Lifnei Zrika, even for a Chatas that was born in Mizbech HaChitzon, you're not allowed to eat. You never let it eat basa Lifnei Zrika. Zrika is Mechapa, Zrika is also Mata. So therefore, you have a Chumrah in Dam Chatas HaLach Beged over basa chatos with regards to the chatois apnimiyos and lifnei zrika. And then the brayso continues and says it's a chumrim rika v'shifa over dam chatos in the zala beged. Shem rika v'shifa noyheges mein bekatcha gedashim in kachim kal. Because rika v'shifa you have by kachim gedashim kachim kal. That's a mishnah. Be additionally be shall be mikzas akli ton rika v'shifa on kol akli. You need to do rika v'shifa on the entire kli. Masha ekim ba'azos. That's a mafurish brayso. What was the second chumra? Mirka v'shtifa, you need on the entire kli, even if you only mevashel the mixes of the kli, as opposed to by a beged. You only have to be mechabes the makom beged. You see, not like you, Rami Bar Chama. It's a mefuri. What's the svar? The svar is like we said, dam lo mefafeya, as opposed to the bli as mefafeya. But the bottom line is, so they're having a conversation about Rami Bar Chama sometimes not being cognizant of a braisa, and literally in that same conversation, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda was able to show Rami Bar Chama why he left Rami Bar Chama and instead went to learn by Rav Sheshet. So what did Rami Bar Chama respond? Amalei told him, "Itanya Tanya, I hear. If it's a braisa, it's a braisa. V'tamamai, why is it different? Meaning, why by the dam is it only the makom hadam they have to be mechabes as opposed to by the Marika Vishtifa?" So we said the Svara, but the Gemara says, "Oh my God, there's actually a pasuk to support it as well. It says, V'im beklina chayshes bushala, v'afila b'miktas akliyaf. V'im beklina chayshes, we learn, even miktas akliyaf." So just to conclude with one ha'ara. So you see from this Gemara that Rav Sheshet was a big baki in Braises and a Mishnayas. In other words, Rav Sheshet was a baki. Tosfos in Mesechtes Erevin, Daf Mem Amar Aleph. So Tosfos over there discusses whenever there's a machloikis, Rav Sheshes and Rav Chizda. Rav Sheshes and Rav Chizda were two of the Gedolei Amayram. They're also Bali Plukta in Shas. So whenever there's a machloikis, Rav Sheshes and Rav Chizda, V'loi itmar hilcha, so loi kemar v'loi kemar. And we don't know, based on the Gemara itself, is the halacha like Rav Sheshes, or is the halacha like Rav Chizda? So who's the halacha like? I mean, we take for granted that today, you want to know what the halacha is, so either you ask your local rabbi, you open up a Shulchan Aruch, or some derivative of that, some handbook. There's 9,000 ways today you can get to the halacha. But once upon a time, the Rishonim used to sit together in Beis Medrash and by Shtenders, and they had to figure out from the sugya who the halacha is like. It wasn't always so simple. So that's why there's so many klolim that you find that the Rishonim and even the Achreinim discuss klolim and halacha. So if you have a machlokes Rav Sheshes and Rav Chizda, and again we don't know who the halacha is like, who should the halacha be? So Tosis brings Erevin Daf Mem Aleph. He brings from the Ritzba that the halacha is always going to be like Rav Sheshes. Says the Ritzba, what's the reason for it? So he said, based on a Gemara, Masechtas Erevin, Daf Samech Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, Rav Chizda v'Rav Sheshes, ki bagi pagi b'hadadi, when they used to meet each other, Rav Chizda mirsan sifsasem yimasnais Rav Sheshes. Rav Chizda would be afraid to talk to Rav Sheshes, because he knew Rav Sheshes was such a baki, he never knew what kind of marimokim Rav Sheshes was going to pull out. Rav Chizda was even more afraid. Not only mirsa sifsasi, not only did his lips tremble, but mirsa kule gufa, his entire guf would tremble. Mipulpule de Rav Chizda, from the pupil of Rav Chizda. Says Tosfos, what emerges from that Gemara, Erevin, Samech Zayin Amud Aleph, is that Rav Sheshes was a baki, whereas Rav Chizda was a lamda, or in Gemara terms, Rav Sheshes was a Sinai, and Rav Chizda was an Oikar Harm. Rav Chizda was afraid of the Bekius of Rav Sheshes, whereas Rav Sheshes was afraid of the Charifus of Rav Chizda. So Rav Sheshes was a Sinai, and Rav Chizda was an Oikar Harm. The Gemara says in the end of Masechtas Hayriyas, Daf Yudal Amalf, it's literally the Siyam on Masechtas Hayriyas. What's Adif, the Sinai or the Oikar Harm? You have two Talmidei Chachamim. One is a tremendous Baki. The other one is a major lamdan. Which one is adif? The Gemara is poshet hashayim. This is something that yeshiva boys have debated for millennia, but it's a Gemara, really. The Gemara says Sinai adif. The Sinai is adif. So it says the Ritzba, it's back of the envelope arithmetic. Rav Sheshes was a Sinai. Rav Chizda was an Iker Harim. The Gemara says in Hayrius, Yudal and Amin Aleph, Sinai adif. That's why, whenever there's machlekes, Rav Sheshes and Rav Chizda, the loch is going to be like Rav Sheshes. Now it's interesting, Tosfos doesn't quote our Gemara, but really it's a Mefurisha Gemara. Yeah, but a Gemara where you see the Sinai, the Bekius, the pilpul of Rav Chizda. I mean, that was the whole Gemara here, where Rav Yitzchak Bar Yehuda left Rami Bar Chama, he went to Rav Chizda because in Rav Chizda it was all about Bekius. He would always be pushing everything from a Mishnah or a Braisa. And Rav Sheshes was the ultimate Sinai. Bottom line is that's why the halacha is like Rav Sheshes over Rav Chizda. But there's one big kasha that I saw the Achronim ask on this, and that is that when the Gemara discussed Sinai or Oikaharim, which one's Aleph? Who were the Amiram that the Gemara discussed? Rabbi and Rav Yosef. And the Gemara said that Rabbi was an Oikaharim, Rav Yosef was a Sinai. So based on the Ritzvah's methodology, it should come out whenever there's a machlokes Rabbi and Rav Yosef, the halacha should always be like Rav Yosef. Stating that, the Gemara says in many places that whenever there's a machlokes Rabbi and Rav Yosef, the halacha is like Rabbi, Levar, Misoda, Inyan, Umech. So there's only three times the halacha is like Rav Yosef. It's a freak, the Chavis Yair. We had a Chavis Yair yesterday. Yesterday's Chavis Yair was Simin Tezvav. Today's Chavis Yair is Simin. We've referred to this Chavis Yair before. Chavis Yair is Simin Tzadik Dalet, where he goes through his Piskei Ashas. It's a very, very Yisoidi Simin. Chavis Yair is Simin Tzadik Dalet. It's a great Maor Makom. But either way, so says the Chavis Yair, I don't understand. According to the Ritzvah, that the halacha is always going to be like the Sinai over the Oikir Harim. So why isn't the halacha always like Rav Yosef, Keneged Rabba? Why is the halacha like Rabba and only like Rav Yosef? I saw the Inyan Mechza. Says the Ritzvah, could be this Gemara is the Makar to the Rashbam. The Rashbam, Bava Basra Daf Kuf Yudalid, where the Rashbam said that this rule of Hilchasa, Kirabi, Keneged Rav Yosef, Levar, Misod, Inyan Mechza, only true Bava Basra. All three of those halachas, saw the Inyan Mechza, they're all sugyas in Bava Basra. And the Rashbam said a Chiddish, and the Chavis Yosef said, I found other Rishonim that say the same Chiddish, that it's only in Mesechtes Bava Basra that this is true. Outside of Bava Basra, that rule doesn't apply. Why would the Rashbam have said that? It doesn't sound like it. Right? The Yal Kagam, it's limited to... And no, usually there's certain klolim in Shas that are klolim that you're supposed to take throughout Shas. Why would we say that that klal is limited to Bava Basra? Says the Chavis Yair. Now you know the rest of the story. Because really, Rav Yosef was the Sinai, and Rabbi was the Iker Harim, and the Sinai is Adif. And just like the Ritzvah said, Allah is like Rav Chizda, because the Sinai is always Adif, the Allah has to be like Rav Yosef. I, this Gemara must be Bava Basra.
Basra is different. Bava Basra, maybe that's Rabba's Indian. So when it comes to Bava Basra, there it's going to be different. But Enochanabi, throughout Shas, the halacha is always going to be like Rav Yosef. The halacha is going to be like Rav Yosef, not like Rabba. Just to end with one interesting observation. So we have two Amayroim that are Sinai. We have Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes. What did Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes have in common? They were both blind. They were both sumen. It's interesting. So Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes, who have in common that they were both sumen, they also have in common that they were both Sinais. What's the pshat? Maybe the pshat is that Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes were very nizer in Shmiras Einayim. Number one, they were blind. But the truth is that they were very nizer in Shmiras Einayim, because if you know the rest of the story, the Ran in the Sechtes Kedushin, and it's really a brisa, says that the reason Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes were blind, they made themselves blind. They did it to themselves. After Rav, Chazal say, had 10 chumras that he used to keep. Asori milu de chasidus, the Rav was noyeg. The Rezina Rabbi, the Balat Chelos, wrote a pirish on the Asori milu de chasidus. It's not a brice or a medrash that we have access to. If you want to look it up, you could find it. I mean, the Rezina Rabbi wrote a pirish on it. The Seyda Adairis brings it. The Sefer Apardis brings it. The Rana Masechtes Kedushin alludes to it. But the bottom line is that Rav had these Asori milu de chasidus. The medrash, after it brings, the Asorim Mila Chazida says that when Rav passed away, his Talmidim took upon themselves that they were going to perpetuate the legacy of their Rebbe, and they decided that they're going to keep up these 10 chumras. Now, there was no one Talmud that was able to keep 10 on his own, so the decide was to divvy it up amongst the Talmidim. One of the chumras that Rav was knowing was he never looked outside of his Dalai Lamas. Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes took it upon themselves that they would never look outside of their Dalai Lamas. But it was very hard for them to do. They never look outside of your Dalai Lamas. The Samuei Nayu, they made themselves blind. The Ram brings this. They made themselves blind, and that's why, and that's the rest of the story. That's how they, but the bottom line is that they were very nizer in Shmiras Einayim. Ki Yodua, Inyone, Shmiras Einayim are related to Shikchas, and maybe that's why they had this tremendous kayach of Zikaron. Either way, something to think about.